And we are live. Welcome to the Embodiment of Soul Care podcast number 16. Be sure to either hit the pause button or pick up your favorite beverage.
Tonight Casey's got her G&T and I've got a nice hot toddy with way too much whiskey in it.
Oh, seriously, right?
And a bunch of cloves that I keep almost swallowing. So if I choke in the middle of this,
just or if you see a big chunk of like brown, yeah. You know, like good thing your camera's fuzzy, you know.
Yes.
Nobody will notice.
You bet.
Okay, so tonight our rough working title is The Ego as a Barrier to Meaningful Creation. We have a meandering path we want to go on tonight. It'll be pretty fun, actually. And by the end, we might just change our title, but that's where we're headed for now. So welcome, welcome. We wanted to start actually because so many parents are now in the midst of their children going back to school, you know, in the era of COVID. And we've already had some experiences with that over the last couple of weeks. And Kelly had a really powerful example of something her daughter, you know, was dealing with at school. She's in kindergarten and it's her first year and it's all fresh and new. And, you know, here she is traipsing off in her little mask every day, right? So we kind of just wanted to share, you know, start with a context and share with where people, you know, a lot of people find themselves right now and what's up for them. So go for it.
Yeah, so it was actually interesting. I mean, I'll share a little bit of background about my daughter. She has not been to any daycares or anything of the sort. So her interaction with friends has been, if she made friends at dance or swimming or pretty much her cousins, all of which, you know, are always in a good state of always welcoming, excitement, like this is fun. So this was a really huge experience for her to go in and be surrounded by all these kids and not have mom anywhere near her, because I was always, you know, standing outside or doing something within the vicinity where she could see me or knew I was near. And she had made a couple of friends in the first week. And there was one occasion where she had made this friend who ended up getting pinched on the playground, really sad. And so she went and comforted her. And then the next day, Sydney had come home from school and she was kind of a little distraught. And so I didn't really pry or say much of anything. And then during dinner time, she kind of broke down a little bit and disclosed to us that she had been mistreated, you know, told that someone didn't want to play with her. And it just so happened to be the little one that had gotten pinched the day before that she was there for. So we just dropped it because, you know, I believe in let them sort it and they'll come back and talk to us about it if they need it. Because I was kind of that kid myself, you know, I just, in the night when everybody was going to bed, I'd go and divulge everything to my mom and cry, you know, and it was always at the end of the night. So I was ready for it in a sense. I was like, okay, you know, it's going to come towards bedtime. And sure enough, you know, there were a lot of tears and a lot of upset. And it was just really Casey about staying out of her way and letting her navigate the entire situation emotionally herself. And I was just a sounding board. And until she asked me for some advice, I didn't give any advice. My husband's initial reaction was like to hunt the parents down and make them suffer because this little girl was crying, you know? And her aunt Angie got a little on the aggressive side too. She's really protective of Sydney, which is, you know, bless them all because everybody has a different reaction. And so I just really stayed in the back seat and just let her drive her emotions, follow her inner guidance and really tell me what it was that was going on within her and what then she needed from me, if she needed anything at all. And really at the end of it, all she said to me was, "Mommy, thank you so much for listening."
Oh,
and that was it. That's all she needed. And then of course, like as a parent, I kind of pried the next day, like, "Oh, how was so-and-so today?" You know, she was fine. You know, didn't really want to talk about it. And now, you know, now that she had done that sorting herself, there's been a couple of occasions like that, that she's run into it and has told me how she was able to kind of get out, you know, feel better about it. And she was a little sad at first, but then went and did something else, you know, or found some way to, you know, have an outlet to get out of it. And the number one thing that I said to her, even though she didn't ask, was remember, Sydney, to always love yourself out of everything. You know, you are what matters. And I think it was 2 days later that she told me how much she loved herself, you know, when she had gotten in the car, you know, and I was like, thank you that something sticks once in a while. But, you know, seriously. I know that a lot of parents are dealing with that, and bullying is always a thing. You know, I mean, if your kid isn't being bullied, they are the bully, or maybe they're just really good at not dealing with any of it. So yeah, that was my story. So any parent who's out there dealing with that, you know, right now, just kind of stay out of their way. Let them talk to you. Of course, you know, say, would you like to talk about something? And eventually they will come around and discuss it with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, always looking for the signs. I think that a lot of times parents sometimes just completely turn their heads to it and figure, oh, whatever, you know, they'll come to me if they need it. But definitely, I'm not saying ignore it. If the child seems different, which she had seemed different that day, you know, very snippy, really, you know, upset about something, then yeah, it's time to dig a little bit, but don't dig so much that you scare them away from it.
Mm-hmm. Or influence what their experience was,
right,
you know, exactly. And project your own experience onto it from all your years of experience, right? Like, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, or
let them figure out how they feel about it.
Right. Like that, I could have easily been like, oh, you know, honey, I dealt with this every day after school and I would cry.
Yeah.
I was bullied and this,
yeah.
But I didn't bring my stuff.
Yeah.
In, you know,
yeah.
until she's older and asks me if it ever happened,
mm-hmm.
or even now, I mean, cause she's mm-hmm. the type that would be like, did this happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I don't volunteer. Exactly. I don't put my story on it because we don't need to make it bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than it is.
Yeah. So. Which is the half of what we, you know, because we had this conversation a couple weeks ago and we were talking about how interesting it is, right? Like, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, ego behavior is ego behavior, right. Whether you're right. 5, whether you're 15, whether you're 45, you know, right. I mean, it's all the same. And you can be a story spinner. You know, we've talked a lot about your story, that how we're bringing the meaning to the story. And so, you know, she has a little 5-year-old ego, right? And the more she learns to bring a bunch of meaning and make a bunch of drama, it's just going to feed itself. And then that'll continue into adulthood until, you know, she decides to start, you know, so if you can start now without feeding the story, without feeding the drama, you know, and it's like little 5-year-old egos and this, you know, girl and their little power trips or whatever, like it's all the same, right? It's all the same as the adult power trips in the world, you know? It's just so fascinating. It starts so early, and the earlier that we can help them navigate it with power and with a sense of sovereignty and a sense of self-love, like you said, is amazing, right? And then helps us remind ourselves to do the same thing. So I just love that story because it was just such a chuckle, like, oh my gosh, the ego doesn't care how old you are. You know, it can take over if you allow it to. And even at age 5, you have a choice, right? You have consciousness, you have a choice, maybe not as much, as you might have later, or maybe more, I don't know. Right. But it's like, start anytime, you know, any age, and, encourage others to do the same. So I just thought it was a neat little reminder.
Yeah. It's like you and I have, you know, we've discussed this, like it needs to be a topic at school, like self-love and consciousness. Like, I mean, if they could teach that at a young age, oh my God, this world.
Like, when are you coming from ego? When are you coming from spirit? Right. If we had that one basic skill.
Right. Just one. That's it. That's really all you know. And then of course your practice can go as far as it wants to go. But I mean, that's like, that's the basis of it. And so we're telling you, anyone who's listening, who is a parent or not a parent, doesn't matter. You know, there's a basic math to all of it. And that's really what it is that ego versus spirit, understanding, you know, that self-love and being within the spirit and not anything else.
Yeah, I love that little part about I love myself. I mean, that is
so
great.
I mean, she said that, and her aunt Angie, who's gonna kill the world.
Oh, seriously?
You have to ask me, like, how is she? And blah blah blah. And today she told me
great.
That she loved herself, which was really, you know, a powerful moment for her. Because usually that one daughter of mine tells me, you know, Mom, I don't need to believe in all the stuff you believe in. I don't know, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was a really big turning point. And I said, Ange, she really did say that. And Angie's like, oh my good for her. So
that's great. That's great. And real quick, in my intro, I forgot to say, so next week, well, like 2 weeks from now, since we do this biweekly, we are going to have a special guest on our podcast. I'll tease it at the end and tell you who it is. But just kind of wanted to tease that right now. We're super excited. We're going to kind of do that a little bit more over
the next three
podcasts. We're going to have a special guest. It's going to be really fun, kind of bring an extra dynamic to our dynamic. Yeah. And we'll just kind of see how it flows and see how it goes. But we're going to have some really interesting people that are very inspirational and very up to things in the world. So we're excited to share that with you. So we'll talk about really that excited. Again at the end. Okay, so here's where we wanted to go with today. It's kind of like a law of attraction reboot episode.
Yeah.
So Kelly and I had a conversation, and I was even listening to our last podcast, number 15 today. And there was a part, you know, where you said that, you know, kind of the whole thoughts create things idea, you know, that what you think about is what you're going to create. And you know, I mean, I'm very like quantum in my thinking, you know, like Newtonian is kind of like cause and effect. You know, it's like you do this and this happens, like you think this and then something happens. Like it's very cause and effect. You drop the apple, it falls to the ground. You know, it's kind of like the Newtonian world that is generally accepted by the general population. And I think that that's the general feeling around the law of attraction. It's like you do this, you get this. It's kind of like an A plus B equals C. And I'm like, that doesn't fit, you know, with my worldview, because my worldview is very quantum, you know, where it's not that simple. It's much more entangled than that. You know, it's much more like based on the observer, it does it exist until they observe it, right? Like that whole entanglement piece. And so I said to Kelly, I said, what had popped in my mind, you know, after you were talking about that was this example of how when I was growing up, when I first started to drive a car, I was obsessed with, like, I kept seeing these images of, like, oh my God, what if I got in a car crash and basically exploded in flames in the car? Like, I was obsessed with, like, being burned alive in the car. Like, it was kind of this background thing, but I saw it, right? I mean, I was thinking about it. I was visualizing it on some sick level. I mean, you know, but it was like this fear, you know, that I had in the background. And of course, it never happened. I mean, clearly you can see that didn't ever actually happen. So it was just kind of a silly example of, like, okay, because I don't believe in a simple formula of thoughts create things. I think they can. I think, you know, sometimes it's just like the ego loves to be complicated. Like we've said, the ego loves a maze. You know, it's not so simple as you think it, you create it. And half the time we think about things that don't get created. And then we don't think about things that do get created. And then which one is it? Is it your subconscious mind? Because if that's 95% of your thoughts, you know, that's creating as well, even though you're not conscious of what those thoughts are, you're still having subconscious thoughts that are running the show. So it's kind of this thing that I, you know, threw at Kelly, and she had a really brilliant, brilliant answer for it that I loved and kind of, it was so good. More on the, you know, like the negative thoughts as a barrier to creation. That's what we're going to kind of launch into. So I'll let you get into it, because it really expands on the idea of thoughts become things, you know, and kind of takes it out of the simplistic into a really deep space. So go for it.
Okay. So let's just begin, because as you were talking about it again, it just kind of triggered something for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the mind itself, the ego, the mind, however you want to refer to it as, and in this situation, in your particular situation where we're going to burn in a fiery crack. So the mind loves the fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the mind can put fear into your life, then it has complete control over your life.
Yeah.
Right? So every moment that you got into your car, you're living this experience of fear. You're not having a nice, beautiful drive where you're looking at the trees and you're looking at, you know, the scenery and thinking about great things during the day. No, you're thinking about like dying in this crash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the mind has complete control, and it is absolutely mastering the experience for you. It is taking over the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And the mind loves that. And this goes for anything in life. You know, you have to be really conscious of where your mind's at, how it's thinking, how it's controlling the situation. So back to the creation part. So that was just like a little side note there. The creation part, I think this is what I told you. This is how good my memory is. But, you know, you have two roads, you know, you have a road that lines up with source and a road that doesn't. And if we're not vibrationally in a match for what it is we're thinking and trying to create, then we can never have that creation come to fruition. It just won't happen. So let's talk about the fiery crash. Okay. You're only thinking of that fiery crash every time you're in the car for about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe as a kid. Like, I don't think that as teenagers, we drove more than an hour at a time. It just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking of it for that hour of a time. The whole other 23 hours of the day, you're not in that state of, I'm going to die in a fiery crash. Correct? So you don't vibrationally, you're not vibrationally aligned, because the rest of the day, you're thinking about fun stuff, this and that, you know, new creation, new this and that. The other thing is that, there's a buffer system. And I think I talked to you about that too. There's always a buffer when we come to source energy and creation. They're not going to sit there just because you think like, oh, someone's going to come in and kill me. Well, shit, that's not going to happen in 2 seconds. You know what I mean? And if you're thinking of it every day, there's still a buffering system. There's a little padding there that the source energy gives you, the vibrational universal energy for creation, that it gives you that little pad. So that it doesn't have to happen. It won't happen because, again, like I said, if we're not vibrationally aligned all the time with that thought, then it's not going to occur. The other thing that's important to know is that when we do have something that we want to create, that we make sure that that creation, I can hear your dog.
Great. Teddy's doing a great job of managing him.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
He's so, creating down there. Olaf is creating.
Yeah, exactly. There's something out there that he wants to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, I mean, just in simple terms, if you're not vibrationally in alignment, then you're not going to be a match for whatever it is you're thinking about. So let's use a simpler example than a fiery crash. Okay. Actually, one that a lot of people actually do have is they want to manifest and create the right job. Okay. Oh, I want a job that is filled with laughter and filled with exploration and challenges me every day. And then I'm excited to go to, right? Okay. Well, the universe then says what? I mean, this is something you say all the time. The universe always says yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can have that. But 2 seconds later, you're going, I don't know if I'm ever going to find that job. I don't know if that's ever going to happen for me. You know, work is really boring. And okay, the universe then says yes to that. Mm-hmm. So again, you're not in a vibrational match. But the buffering system, your rocket of desire has already been launched. Your creation is already manifesting itself. It's just a matter of you vibrationally aligning for that to show up in your life. So you can think negative thoughts 10% of the day and positive thoughts 90% of the day, and that will come into fruition. But if we're thinking negative thoughts 90% of the day and only positive 10, then you probably won't see it. You'll just continue to see the roundabout ways of, oh, this job sucks. And then, yeah, your job sucks. And, oh, this is really boring. And yeah, that is going to be really boring. Or I can't find a mate. And yeah, you're never going to going to have a good relationship with your mother or your father. You know, it's that kind of a thing. So you just being very aware that you have to be sitting in a good space in order to receive the creation you're trying to create. So the fiery crash couldn't have happened because 90% of the day you were in a positive space. 10% of it while you were driving was in that negative space. And that buffer is always available. And there's always that space for you to not be taken into the fiery crash. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have fruition, you know, like, you know, that they don't psychically predict that maybe they'll be in a fiery crash and then they end up dying in a fiery crash. And everybody in their family is like, oh, they always thought they were going to go that way, you know, but that's not a process creating that. That's just an intuition. And everybody has that intuitive ability.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so, an interesting distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. We all have intuition. We all have the gut feeling, you know, that something might go that way.
Yeah.
And then it ends up that way. And then everyone's like, oh, you know, and then people that are like mass creators of the world, like they thought about it all the time, but really they never fucking thought about it. But maybe 10 minutes and just said it, you know, like, oh, you know, I kind of have a feeling that that's how this will go, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, it's distinguishing that and knowing the differences between intuition versus vibrational creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's what I loved, what you said when we spoke. I love that distinction. And I also, and Matt Kahn says this too. He says the ego does not create.
No.
That only spirit is true creation.
Right.
You know? And so the ego just puts up barriers, you know? So it's kind of like with the fiery crash or with trying to manifest your job, you know, let's take the job one. So if you're trying to manifest this job, those negative thoughts are just barriers in the way. It's not actually creating anything. It's just keeping a barrier to what wants to be created. Right. And then once you dissolve the barriers through, you know, thinking more positive thoughts or being in the vibrational alignment, that's when the barriers dissolve.
Yes.
The ego dissolves, and then that alignment is able to take over and now manifest. And I loved that distinction as well. I thought that was so beautiful because sometimes, you know, I know this for myself, it's like you get caught in this fear of when you think thoughts become things. Oh no, I just thought a negative thought. Oh, it's going to create something negative.
No.
It's like, no, the ego, you know, it's kind of like I talk about all the time, right? The positive has exponential power and the negative has like this like power of a gnat, you know? Right. So it's like, it doesn't have very much power. Yeah. So it doesn't really create. And I think it's such a beautiful idea because then you don't have to worry so much about, oh no, you know, I just thought that, or I just created that. It's like, no, it didn't create anything. It just blocked the true creation of spirit from manifesting. And I think that's a really powerful place to come from so that you can then stand more in that vibrational alignment, shoot up those rockets of desire and not worry so much in the meantime and kind of laugh more at yourself and have a little more lightness. I think that was my point in this conversation today is I think people get really heavy about, oh no, you know, and then the more heavy you feel about thinking negatively or coming from ego, then the more it feeds itself, right? It's just like this self-fulfilling prophecy.
I think the simplest way to say it is that really and truly you're creating your experience.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not by thinking.
No, that's really good. Yeah.
Thinking, you know, you're not thinking in the positive space, but that doesn't even matter right here. What I'm trying to say is, you're creating your experience based off of what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you said, you're down all day long. Then your day is all day long. When somebody says, how was your day? And you're like, it was shit. Well, that's because it just continued to cycle that way. You're like a damn gerbil in a wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just all these thoughts. You're just going like this. Mm-hmm. So no, nothing can, your rocket of desire is up here and you're just going like this and creating this shit experience.
Yeah. It's like still here, right? It's just not,
it's there. You just can't, you're not getting off the wheel. Yeah. You're not getting off the wheel to go towards it. You're just like, crap. Oh yeah. The wheel possibly is going down, you know, to your water bowl. Like the universe will always let you eat and drink, you know, it'll always get you there, but it's not gonna, you know, feed your thought pattern. It just won't, because you can't, if you're not vibrationally on the same railroad as source, you cannot be creating anything that you wanted. Like your desires will not come into fruition. Instead, it'll just be that same old sad ass story. Oh, you know, every time I try for that, it fails.
Yeah. Just like one little tiny sliver of it comes about, you know, but the rest, you know.
Yeah. And Casey, you know this better than anybody being a realtor. Like how many times are people like, oh, I lost that one again. I just always lose that house. Like someone always outbids me. Well, of course they do, because again, you're in the wheel and all you're thinking about is just someone outbidding you instead of, you know what? No one's going to outbid me on this one. Yeah. I created this one. This is what I want. This is what I desire. I'm just going to, and it's not thinking about it more and more. That's important too, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we continue to think about everything we want, we're still in the wheel. Mm-hmm. So the most important part is to think about what you want and then go to the next wheel. Mm-hmm.
And then surrender it. You know, it reminds me of our surrender conversation all the way back to like podcast number two. Exactly. It's like, shoot it out, surrender it, allow it to flow, allow it to happen, you know, while holding that vibrational alignment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're living in the present moment, like we always talk about, and you're living now and you're living for kindness and love and serenity and peace, and you're just really, really relaxed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the number one word. Mm-hmm. Just fucking relax.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff that you've ever put into your, you know, your vibrational vortex and your desire wheel will come true.
Yeah, it's like already there, right? Yeah. I mean, it's already just.
And I love what you said, like all the bad stuff, just because you know, you thought great about it for 2 hours and now you're thinking bad, doesn't mean that that's no longer existing. It just means it's going to be a couple more days or a couple more years before you get there, because you're creating an experience of shit right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's, you know, why not be joyful?
Yeah.
Christ. I mean, live life now, live it, live it instead of, you know, in the depths of, especially now with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you just see people in the wheel. Like every time I turn on the news, I just see this.
Oh, I know, right? Seriously.
Like, oh my God, are you people ever going to get off of that? Because that's got to be boring. Does it change colors? No, it never changes. It's just boring shit.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of brings us to our other piece that we wanted to get to with the meaningful piece about us bringing the meaning to the table for our creations. You know, I had a really cool, so we've talked about this concept of the universe always says yes. And meaning whatever you put out there, you know, it's kind of like this neutral slate. It's like, what do you want to create? Oh, I want to create a bunch of the same old crap that I get to complain about and I get to worry about. Okay, yes. I'll give you more of that.
Right,
okay.
Right.
You know, or I want to create something new and I want to feel joy and I want to feel aliveness. Okay, yes. You know, I mean, the universe is going to say yes to whatever, you know. It's this really, because I think, you know, sometimes we have this sense of like, I don't know, we tell ourselves certain things like love always wins in the end, or God's will be done, or it's meant to be, or, and it doesn't mean some of those things aren't true, but I think it's good to examine where we're coming from and also empower ourselves beyond those things. You know, it's kind of like, is there fate, or how much agency do we really have over our lives? Where does free will come in? You know, all these kinds of questions. And we always want to think, you know, because we are so used to judging good, bad, which is mostly coming from ego, what's good and what's bad. You know, it's so limited in its scope. And which is, I mean, obviously is true, because different people think things are good and different people think things are bad. I mean, there's some baseline, but most of the rest of it is pretty far out there in terms of what people consider. So we wanted to, I had read this thing and I emailed it to you, and it was so good. So I'm going to read it and then we'll kind of talk about it. It relates to this. So it says, it's actually a quote from Deepak Chopra. If you obsess over whether you are making the right decision, you are basically assuming that the universe will reward you for one thing and punish you for another. The universe has no fixed agenda. Once you make any decision, it works around that decision. There is no right or wrong, only a series of possibilities that shift with each thought, feeling, and action that you experience. If this sounds too mystical, refer again to the body. Every significant vital sign, body temperature, heart rate, oxygen consumption, hormone level, brain activity, and so on, alters the moment you decide to do anything. Decisions are signals telling your body, mind, and environment to move in a certain direction. So by not choosing, that's a choice. And the part that really popped out was the universe has no fixed agenda. You know, I mean, what if you really, you know, just as like an experiment, you know, taking that on, what if the universe just says yes to what you're putting out there? How would that change, you know, someone listening to this? It's like, because I've really been thinking about this in my own life. It's like, how does that change how you live? You know, it gives you full agency. It puts you right in the driver's seat of your free will, because it's like, well, if there is no set agenda and it's not necessarily going to turn out a certain way unless I take personal responsibility for being in spirit and guide it in that direction. There's no set way the universe says, oh, don't worry. You can, you know, just kind of wallow in all your negativity and wallow in the negativity of the world, but don't worry. You're gonna end up in a joyful, happy place in your life. It's like, no, you gotta work for that. You gotta want that. You gotta set that as your agenda and say, my agenda is to experience joy in this life. Regardless, you know, like we say, the light inside of you is the light inside of you is the light of God. And you can have peace within and peace on earth in your earth, no matter what's going on in the world. How much are you going to stand for that? You as your sovereign self, regardless of what's happening outside of you, you know? So if there's no fixed agenda, what do you want to set your agenda as? What do you want to say yes to? What do you want to put out there? It's very empowering, you know? I mean, on the one hand, it kind of, you know, makes us feel awash in this like empty, meaningless existence, right? Well, if there's no set agenda and it's not necessarily going to turn out, you know, a certain way, then what's the point? Where's the meaning in life? Well, the meaning is where you bring the meaning. And that's kind of where we wanted to have people play tonight, is like with this whole piece of creation. And if creation is only done by spirit, then meaning is also only brought by spirit, right? Because it's like the ego, the only meaning it gives things is like keeping you in the maze, keeping you on the rat trap, the gerbil wheel, you know, and kind of keeping you away from the truth of your inner self, your inner spirit. That's the little game it's playing. You know, the meaning is just to play the game to the ego. It's just, let's keep playing the game. Let's keep, keep the cheese away, you know, keep rotating the cheese to another part in the cage. So only spirit brings true meaning to the table. And that's for every person to say for themselves. That's for you to say, what brings meaning to your life? What's going to have, you be on your deathbed and say, wow, that was a great ride. That was a meaningful ride. It's up to you. You know, what if that's really fully up to you? Could be kind of scary, but could be kind of fun and empowering. So what are your thoughts on that, Kelly?
Well, I agree 100% with, ow. That elbow of mine takes a beating.
Oh man.
So I, here's my biggest thing. And you said the word, so I'm going with the word you said.
Do it. I can't wait.
So you said empty.
Yeah.
Okay. Like this empty, you know, universe, this empty space, like we create. Yeah. And I'm saying yes to all of that. Empty everything here. You know how I've said, and we've discussed this too, just wiping away your entire identity, getting rid of all of it, just not even associating yourself with any of that, because that brings you straight to the spirit. That brings you straight to the core of who you truly are. This infinite being that never, ever dies. This wholehearted, full of love, pure positive energy that never, ever fades, never dies. So if you remain empty and you don't even think, like, there's only one thing that I disagreed with you on in that. And that was, where you said, you know, you have to work to be where you are. Well, I see it as, you know, the more intentions you have and the more work you do, the more tension you get.
Yeah.
You know, because because a lot of people, Casey, can't just, you know, work for it and think positively. It's like the work then comes with all the sadness when it doesn't work out, and all the anger when it doesn't work out.
Oh yeah.
And all like the struggle and all the hatred toward, whoa, hello.
Oh, and it's hot, dude.
Whoa, talk about emptying it out.
Okay. Empty it out, baby.
Yeah, empty it out. So, you know, people just get so weighed down by all of that hard work. You know, like I've worked so hard.
So true. Time, yeah.
And all I get is a.
Yeah, I'm going to keep the vibration, right? That's very relaxed. So how relaxed is that?
That's exactly. So it's like when they're working so hard, it's like I even see with my husband. You know, when they're working so hard, or Ted, I see with Ted all the time, they create so much tension that there's no emptiness, which then allows no space, which then allows for creation to just totally become the tensified ball that they're dealing with every day. And they get nowhere. You know, again, we're on the wheel. So it's making the conscious thought to be empty, to be in a space where, you know, you just let life flow.
Yeah.
Like life is not here to, you know, I at least don't see it as a way, you're not here to be punished. You're here. Yes. There's a lot of punishment in it, but that's because we're constantly fighting with the mind. You know, we're constantly fighting with that psychological space of, I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. I got to work to get it. Instead of just saying, it's all going to come to me, because there's nothing about myself in here, deep down in here, that is ever trying to punish me. And there is nothing about source energy in the universe and God that is ever trying to punish me.
Right. It's all ego. You know, right. It's all ego bringing that to right. the table.
Right. And so that's where we go back to that self-talk. So it comes mm-hmm. all the way full circle again. What are you saying to yourself every day that the universe is saying yes to? Mm-hmm. Because they are literally the universe, and I hate to insult them if they take this as an insult, but it's like, it's literally like having the yes ma'am wife.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, yeah. Just constantly doing whatever you say, because that is how they work. They work in that love space where they're going to give you everything. You know, they want you to be happy. They want everything to be happy and loving. So if I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you know, I'm never going to get this, or I'm never going to get that, it goes back to that. Yes, that's right. Oh, I just feel so bad today because my boss just hates me. Yes, yeah. He does. There you go. So it's fixing that. Okay. So telling people, and I found this with a lot of clients, you know, they always say to me that that's really nice, Kelly, but how do I change that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need right. the structure work. So it starts as simple as this. What do you say to yourself? Okay. Let's say that I say, I can never find the right relationship. I always attract bad men. And I just, you know, I always get in abusive situations, and then I end up having to walk away, and then I'm heartbroken and this and that. Okay, well, let's go there. And I'm bringing up relationships because next week is all about relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead you say to yourself, I haven't had a very good run. However, that is about to change. My life is about to take a big turn, and actually I feel it turning right now. I'm in a positive space. I feel really good about myself. I love myself, and I'm attracting only those who love themselves too.
Yeah.
Those that are really ready for commitment as I am ready for commitment. Those that are really seeing life through the eyes of pure positive joy and excitement and vibrational creation as I am. You know, like changing the words so that right. we line up with what it is we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then the second that you're like, oh, it's never going to come. Remember the buffer system. Beep, 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 buffer. It is going to come.
Yeah.
It is going to happen.
Once you notice that you've said that or thought that or yes. been in that yes. vibration, then yes. just shift it. Even yes. if it's been an hour, a day, a minute, whatever.
Right. And yeah. that right there is pure consciousness. Right. When you can catch what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're going for, you know, is just to catch it more and
just
more.
Catch it. Catch yeah. it and rephrase it.
Yeah. yeah.
Catch it and bring yourself back to spirit. Bring yourself back to the pure positive love that you are. Mm-hmm. And thinking positively for yourself and everything that is around you and existing around you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is absolutely, like you said, and like Deepak Chopra said, there is absolutely no punishment. Mm-hmm. There will be no punishment for anything you say or do. The only thing you're doing is creating your experience based off of what you are saying to yourself.
So you can create that. I mean, you can bring that meaning to the table.
Experience. You yeah. can create the experience, but you will never create punishment without having bad self-talk. Then we're punished. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. Well, hell, life is hard, because when you go out in public and you think those things of yourself, you're shy, you're shamed, you're shut down, and nobody's even looking at you that way, but you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was your experience that day. Everyone was looking at me because I have this zit on my cheek or whatever. Nobody even fucking noticed it.
Yeah.
It's you're creating the experience.
Yeah.
You know, and that takes us all the way back yeah. to Sydney.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, no, I love your thing about it's creating the experience, because that's what, I mean, we created this Earth universe game to have experiences, you know, yes. and that's why it's like, oh, okay, you there's free will. You want to experience that? Okay. You know, right. There's another side to this, you know, it's a world of duality. It's a world of polarity. You could experience the other side that's more grounded in spirit and more grounded in grace yeah. and more grounded in joy. But if you want to experience yes. the other side, go for it, you know?
Yeah, you won't be punished for it.
Yeah, and then one day, you know?
You'll just have a shitty life.
And that's an experience, right. you know? And if that's right. the experience, so it's like,
yeah.
For some reason, I love the word agency, you know, because there's yeah. so many times we give away our agency, you know? And mm-hmm. it's like, take your agency back.
Right.
And own it mm-hmm. and say, you know, it's like valuing yourself and loving yourself enough to be like, I am going to, you know, cause it's like a daily thing. Just try and get a little bit better than yesterday. Right. Be a little more conscious than yesterday. Catch yourself one more time than yesterday, you know, and over a cumulative, days, years, you know, it will accumulate, and then you will see, huge strides. Right. I mean, look how far you and I have come in the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm far more conscious now and catch many more things now. And 10 years from now, I'll catch even more things, you know? Right. So if we did come here to have this human experience, let's have it. And let's along the way, do what we can to continuously up our game, you know, and, you know, kind of all the way back to the beginning. Where was it? So, you know, we had talked about the ego as a barrier to meaningful creation, just getting that ego out of the way. It's just a barrier.
Yeah.
And the more you dissolve the barrier, then the meaningful creation is just your canvas. You know, it's your masterpiece. You get to paint it every day.
Yeah.
Every moment.
Every day.
And you can shift at any time. It's never too late. You know, Sydney can start at 5. We can keep going at age 40. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it is, it's just how you want to experience it. And, you know, being, I want to say this, the discomfort, you know, the discomfort that some people find in their day, instead of just recognizing it as discomfort and labeling it as that, look at it as, you know, a serious amount of knowledge for you to know how you don't want to feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and how, and that then allows you to send off that, you know, desire of how you do want to feel. I mean, those are great days too. I'm not knocking people who have like 15 years of bad days,
right?
Because those are huge in letting you see exactly what it is you do not want.
Yeah.
But you need to use that. Don't just keep meddling in the fact that you just had a bad life. And it's going to continue that way because it can change in a fucking millisecond. I mean, like so fast that you won't even know what the hell hit you. You'll be like, I abducted?
Oh, seriously.
Sometimes I feel like people who think they've been abducted have literally just, you know, come into the pure graces of being with self.
Oh, that's so funny. You know? Oh my gosh, that's great. I love it.
It's just, you know, it takes a millisecond. So stop living your life in that sense of sadness and sorrow and start fixing your thoughts and bring yourself into that pure positive vibration so that you can create everything that you want to create.
Which is who you truly are. You know, as we talk about, spirit is who you truly are. Ego is not you.
Yeah. And before you came,
it's not any of us, you know. Yeah.
And before you came here and when you leave here, you're loving positive energy. So it's just the shit show here. So make the middle.
I also, I love, you know, there's loving positive energy. And I also love just like, oh, this is what I was going to bring in just right here at the end. So there was that beautiful passage, you know, by the Hathors, Tom Kenyon, who channeled it. And it was talking about the void. And I love it because I think so much of the time we have to fill in with, joy, love, creation, which is great, right? It's fun. It's fun to play with. And he was talking about how, you know, I mean, some of it is like, you can do it here while you're alive. You can do it when you pass from the body. And that just being in the void is so powerful and that we don't know how to be there. But from the void is all creation.
Right.
You know, if you're at nothing, if you're at emptiness, if you can even touch, and I mean just like touch that point in your heart for just a millisecond, touch that point in your spirit, just dare to go there. That's literally the space of all possibility. That kind of goes back to the quantum thing, you know, it's like, it's just that field. It's the 0-point field. And that's why I've always been so entranced by quantum physics. You know, it's like, I don't know, we talk about possibility, but that is literally the plane of all possibility. And then it's like, okay, and then what do you want to arise out of that? That power is within each of us. That is our spirit. Our spirit is the void. So I think it's fun to play with because we want God is love and God is grace and God is all these beautiful flowery things that we say. How about God is the void? God is emptiness. God is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, what I love, like A Course in Miracles says, there's only one truth. God is.
Right.
You don't fill in the blank. You don't make it feel good. You don't make it flowery. Literally, there's one truth in the universe. Right. Right. God is, and you cease to speak.
Yeah, that's
that. After that, anything you fill in the blank, it's kind of like the I am.
I am.
God exactly is, I am. Same idea, but, and then you stop.
Yep.
So I just invite everyone to, whether it's a meditation you do, or just literally a moment in your day,
mm-hmm.
have a moment where you touch into the void. Dare to just be the void, where there's nothing there to back you up other than the power of who you are as spirit in your own heart.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of just loved that like piece. Do you know what I mean? To just like empty it all out. Like kind of like you said, I mean, it's so powerful.
It's so powerful because if you think about all the thought patterns everybody's been taught, I mean, everybody always says, oh, we need fullness. We need fulfillment. We need to be, you know, have it all. And it's like, no, you don't need any of it. Cause like we just said 10 minutes ago, empty it all out and have no identity. And then
it fills up.
Oh my God. But then just in that emptiness and in that not having any identity, you feel at such peace, you know, oh wait, I'm not that person. I'm not this. And this doesn't define me. I am just here, you know, and I'm always here and I will always just be here without everything else.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much power in that. So yeah, I'm glad.
And I love like the thought, here's what I love is thinking of like, not either or, but like both and, you know, like both fullness and emptiness are in the void, right? The void is fullness. The void is emptiness. The void is love. The void is nothingness,
you know?
Right? Like it's kind of like all of it coexists together. Like both things are true at the same time, even though they seem contradictory, you know, it's like where they come together, where they join, where they resolve. I don't know, like where it all blends. It's just kind of fun to play with, you know?
But like the fullness of what, you know, the fullness of not the fullness of identity.
Right.
But the fullness of your truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like truth is both full and empty.
Yes.
At the same time.
That's that's why that word, that's why a lot of people are like, I can't stand liars. Can't somebody just tell the truth? Because, you know, we always want to go back to that vibrational path that aligns with source, which is in the truth.
Yeah.
You know, of who we are deep down, not the truth of like, did Joey say the right thing or did Jimmy Jew, you know, is he lying about whatever?
Yeah.
Like the actual solid truth. And that's why people don't resonate well when somebody isn't in that truth space.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, the fullness and the emptiness together is just, I mean, I guess we could define it as just truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So.
All right. Awesome.
Okay. Well, I want you to promote our lady for next
week. Yes. Oh, this will be so much fun. So her name is Suzanne Muller and she had, she's fascinating. She's done so many things over the years. I love her. She's a good friend of mine and, she's going to be our first guest on the Embodiment of Soul Care. We were talking a lot about self-love and then the course that we're developing is called the ripple effect of deep self-love. And so I immediately thought of Suzanne because, she deals a lot with self-love, like at its core, like let's say you're looking for a fulfilling relationship or you're in one and you just want it to feel more fulfilling, to kind of start with yourself, you know, start over here, source it within yourself, source change within yourself, source fulfillment within yourself, and then kind of, you know, allow it to emanate outward. So it's kind of like if you do have a well of self-love, then what is the ripple effect, whether it's on your relationships, on your career, on your life, on the world at large? She just seemed like the perfect person to bring in and really expand this conversation. So I had her little bio. Anyway, she's a dating coach. She works with couples. She works with singles. She does all kinds of workshops and she's very fun and light. That's so much of what I appreciate about her. She has such a light energy to her. She's, you know, just laughs a lot. We're going to have a great time next week. So I kind of wanted to just show her, I don't know if this will be backwards. Yeah. It probably will be.
No,
it's called Lovable. This is the book that she, wrote about, she wrote in 2013, it was published, 21 Practices for Being in a Loving and Fulfilling Relationship. And then she's also developed a lot of content since then. Mm-hmm. She's constantly, you know, like in her own workshop, because she's always interacting. She does a lot of singles groups. So she's constantly developing new content and kind of, you know, edging onto new frontiers with her work and diving deeper and trying new things. And she's great. So you'll love next week. We're going to have her on, and we'll, you know, kind of put all of her links and stuff in the podcast for next week. But just as a teaser, be sure to tune in next time.
She's brave.
To come on with us. Seriously, right?
I mean, I'm so excited to have her on here. I really am. I think it's going to be huge for a lot of people. Not only because like you said, she incorporates a lot of things that we discuss.
Yeah. And in a very accessible way, you know, with accessible language.
Exactly. Like sometimes maybe we're a little over the top and she
bring us down to earth.
Yeah. Where everybody can be like, oh, okay. And then you might see us throw a few questions her way. And it'll just be great. I'm really excited for her visit with us.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the next three podcasts.
I know. It'll be so fun. We're going to have like three dear friends on.
Yeah. So, and very powerful, like you had said at the beginning, you know, people that are really good at their craft and really, I think we have a medium, my friend, who's a medium, like right towards Halloween.
Just Oh, that'll be great.
So this is going to be fun. Welcome to her next week. I'm really excited. So I think a lot of people will benefit greatly from this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll just be fun to bring some new energies in and people can experience that. And
And if anybody wants to come in and, you know, join us at any point on a podcast, we're more than
welcome. Let us know.
Yeah. So that's it for me over here.
All right. We did it.
I'm feeling empty.
I know. Nothing to say. Wait, that never happens.
I know, right? Well, you know, we started this whole thing and I said to Casey, I was like, I haven't put anything together. So hopefully we can roll with this.
Oh, seriously.
But Casey always saves the day. She always has something in the works that she knows her sister-in-law way too well.
Oh, seriously.
She's going to go.
Well, this week was perfect because the whole thing just stemmed from us having a conversation, you know, starting with your daughter, and it kind of all went from there. So it was perfect.
Yep. So,
all right, everyone, we love you.
Love you.
Be the love and light within.
Yep.
Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.